designed to encourage, empower, and educate real estate professionals by sharing best practices from business leaders that are proven winners. I'm your host, Kyle Malnati, and this is Calibrate Real Estate. Broadcasting from the Mile High City, you are tuning in to the Calibrate Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Malnati, and today is a fun episode that we've got lined up for you. I've got Chasen J. Miles from Dallas, Texas. Chasen and I have become friends over the last couple of years through a mutual acquaintance of ours, Rogers Healy. Rogers was a 30 under 30 with Realtor Magazine, as was I. And so Chasen, thanks so much for joining us today. A little bit about Chasen. He's the best real estate agents in the D Magazine. That's for Dallas. That's a huge magazine, huge award, and that was a 2017 award. He's also the social media chair for his YPN chapter, which is the Metro Texas Realtor Association. He's got a YouTube channel that you definitely want to check out. He's an author, both an Inman contributor, and for real estate folks, you'll know what Inman is. And then he also has written his own book called More Than Four Walls. So very excited to have Chasen J. Miles on the line today. Chasen, welcome to our podcast.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you. I appreciate this.
Good to see you again, buddy. Virtually. It's good to see you.
Yeah. It's been a little while.
All right. So let's dive into this. I just shared some of your accolades. Tell us about your story. I love to start with the beginning. How did you find the real estate profession? How did you get into this crazy business? You've got to be a little nuts to be a realtor and work on 100% commission. So how'd you find this and how'd you start working for Rogers Healy and Associates?
Well, let me start off by saying I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I decided to jump in real estate. I actually moved to Texas from Georgia, and so I wanted a change of career, and something in me wanted to sell real estate. I really loved marketing, and I liked seeing it, and so I was like, let me get my real estate license. So I got here, got my real estate license, and kind of sat there looking for what to do next. And so years down the line of me having my license and everything, I was actually introduced to Rogers through a mutual friend of ours who was an agent here at the time. And, you know, I didn't actually know that I was coming in for an interview when I met Rogers, and I was thinking it was just, you know, maybe he was presenting me an offer on one of my properties or something. And I sat here, kind of talked for a while and got to know him and, you know, found out more about the company. And there was just a different type of culture here. And so, yeah, I moved my license over and I've been here ever since. And so he's a wealth of knowledge and I appreciate everything that he does. And it's really helped out my real estate career.
Yeah, Rogers is the man. He's been a mentor to me. He's a contributor to the book that I'm working on. And Rogers is got a good wit about him. He says, you know, we created a company that was, the whole goal was to really do things differently than the rest of the real estate companies in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And he said he's honored that his name has become a brand. But he said the reality was, especially at the beginning, he's like, we were just a band of misfits. You know, like we're in the Christmas season. And I think about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Island of Misfit Toys, which is also featured in the movie Elf. And so, you know, someone like yourself, I think working with Rogers and working at a boutique, which has now become a mega boutique as you have over 200 agents at that company. What attracted you to work for a boutique besides working maybe at another larger firm? And I know you worked somewhere else before you worked there. Obviously the culture you said, but what are some other things that just struck you as this is the place for me to be?
Well, a big thing was the actual people who worked here. And so when I looked at the agent roster and the website and I was like, wow, these people look like they really know what they're doing. And, you know, everybody looked good. Everybody was smiling. Me walking through the office, everybody seemed happy. And so just like that alone was just a different feeling. And then as I got kind of submerged in the company, I really noticed that I appreciated the way that Rogers trains agents. He's still practicing real estate, so he's out here in the real world experiencing the same things that we're experiencing, and he has a long history of it. And so he was able to provide me with that knowledge that other companies not necessarily have been able to, simply because their broker may be very disconnected, or you're being trained and led by a team leader who probably hasn't practiced real estate in a long time. And that was something that was a lot different than the other place that I had been at, simply because he was still practicing real estate. So he was able to really put me on to, you know, price per square foot here, price per square foot there, and, you know, just fully submerged in the market. And so I really appreciated that. Plus, it's a very youthful environment. He's a youthful guy. So a lot of things that he goes through and that we were, you know, working on, and like I experienced the same things. And so it's really fun.
I want to park on that statement for a minute that you said youthful, because Rogers has told me, as well as our 30 Under 30 alumni network, to describe yourself when you're young as youthful, because people appreciate being youthful when you're young. Sometimes you can get stereotyped as maybe not having as much experience, but even older people can be youthful. So I love that you said that. And I've noticed that through speaking with Rogers and interacting with his team, is that everybody's professional, but at the same time, they all enjoy working with each other. And that, I think, is really the testament of running a great real estate company, is that you spend a lot of time together. You probably spend, in many cases, more time than you would with your loved ones, because you're at work the majority of the day. And so you might as well enjoy who you're working with, right? You might as well have people around you that both you enjoy working with, but also that can stretch you. And that's what I hear in you speaking about Rogers and the training program that he offers. And I remember him saying that he trains either once or twice a week with his agents. He is a salesperson, so I think there's a high level of respect that comes from learning from someone who's still out there in the trenches, still getting listing appointments. And not only that, Rogers has created this relocation network and this referral network that's nationwide, and has sold houses for celebrities and football players and basketball players. At one point, Britney Spears is pictured with the Rogers Healy and Associates t-shirt saying Rogers Healy is my realtor on it. So, I mean, he's really become a national celebrity, and also still works his tail off in Dallas-Fort Worth. So I think that's a big testament to who he is.
Truly, yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about you specifically and how you generate real estate leads. I've noticed this sitting from afar in Denver, that I think that you're an expert in social media. And I think that that's something that a lot of people profess to be an expert in, but I really have appreciated the way that you set up both your website as well as your YouTube channel. You've talked about doing different social media experiments, if you will, to always try to be on the leading edge of what's going on. So what's working for you? How do you approach your social media strategy is what I should say. How do you approach your social media strategy? And what are some tips for our audience that they may be able to apply into their marketplace?
Yeah, so the biggest thing with social media when it comes to my strategy and approaching it is not being scared. You know, I talk to agents all the time, all over the country. And the biggest thing is they're mostly scared. I don't want to annoy people. I don't want people to not follow me. I don't want to get on people's nerves. Well, that's going to happen. And I'm just going to say, like, that's going to happen. And there's nothing you can really do about it. And it happens to everybody. When you put yourself out there on such a large scale and in an open network like that, you know, you're gonna have haters, but you're also gonna have fans. And so when it came to social media, me living here and moving to an area that I didn't know anybody and that I didn't barely even know the streets, I was really forced to submerge myself into social media marketing, because I was like, this is going to be one of the only ways that I can probably generate business and build a name for myself. And so how I really do that, I look and see what's trending. Like, what is the network that everybody's getting on? What is everybody hopping to? Like, I'm that guy hopping from place to place to place, because that's where the audiences are going. And granted, each social network has their own audience, but it's important for us to be everywhere, because you never know where you're gonna find your next client. So when I started, it was mostly Facebook and Twitter, and it was kind of Twitter for me more than Facebook. And then I kind of transitioned over to Facebook, and I was doing that self-promotion that realtors were kind of unheard of doing at the time. nowadays you see it everywhere. And then after Facebook came, you know, YouTube, and now we have Snapchat and Instagram, and, you know, we had Periscope for a while. So just all these networks, it can be overwhelming, but they all kind of work the same. And so that brings me to the next point is you have to have content that you're going to place on these social media networks. Content is super important, or you are going to look like that lame person who's probably paying a service to post on social media because you're posting the same thing that someone else is posting. And so it's very important to have content, and your content can be anything. Like, it can literally be anything, and you can recycle your content. You don't necessarily have to have the like a different piece of artwork on your Instagram from your Facebook, on your Twitter and YouTube. You can recycle it, you can repurpose it, you can use the same blog article, give it a different title, change up a few things, and then you have a totally new blog article. And so really spreading yourself out there and putting out good and content for people to see, that's what's going to really grow your social media following.
Love it. So let's talk about some of the channels specifically. And this certainly can date our podcast, but I think as we try to dig into social media, a lot of the things that you're going to be doing are going to be applicable across several channels, whatever ends up being the hot new system. And I think it's really important to talk about what's working for you within each different channel. So you talked about Facebook, you talked about Twitter. Talk about Instagram. If you could, and just what things you share on Instagram and what you think is something that works out really well for you on the platform Instagram.
Okay, so Instagram is actually the network that I have really been on a lot lately because it has taken off ever since Facebook acquired it. And the things that are working on Instagram right now are Instagram stories. Like, everyone is posting stories. And what I've been able to do with my stories, instead of it just being a selfie of me or, you know, me just recording a home, I'm able to actually place content in my stories. So place blog post snippets in my stories. I'm able to feature clients. I'm able to create advertisements for my real estate business, for my services, and actually share my life and the food I'm eating and my dog. But stories kind of give people that inside reality look into your life, because most times a story is recorded. There's some type of animation, there's some type of movement, there's sound, so it captures and keeps their attention. And so I am on my Instagram story all day. So all day, whatever I'm doing, I'm giving my followers that inside look into my life. Something with real estate, you know, and I tell people this all the time, it's like a lot of agents are headshot agents. All people know you by is your headshot. You know, they only know you by this one picture that is on everything. And we really have to step away from that and let people into your life. Like, that's why these real estate shows are so popular, because it's showing the stuff that happens behind the scenes. And I feel like as normal agents, when we break into that, that's when our followings grow, because you start to build a different kind of connection with people, because they start to feel more relatable to you, or they like what you're doing and they start commenting and writing you and asking you questions. And it's a whole different experience, but you have to let them in. And Instagram is a great network for that right now.
Well, which, by the way, that headshot mentality, as a realtor, we all know the realtor that you meet where you're like, man, I've seen that person's face on social media, but also on bus stops and billboards, and you meet him and that photo is 15 years old and you're like, holy cow, that does not look at all like you. And so I think the big key with social media is being authentic to who you really are. And you shared, you know, hey, you're going to share some posts about your dog and some of the food that you're eating. And what does that have to do with real estate? Really, it has nothing to do with real estate, but it has to do with you as the realtor. And what ends up happening is people hire us because they know, like, and trust us. Right. And that's as old as the real estate industry, that saying, but that's the reality, is people hire you because they know, like, and trust you. And they can't know, like, and trust you from afar unless you share some things that you really enjoy. The thing I also heard you say at the very beginning of our discussion on social media was that a lot of people are scared or fearful of posting content. And what I hear in that, and I actually go through that myself, and I want to be vulnerable for a minute and discuss that. But what I hear in that is that people are playing to their critics, not to their fans. And what happens when you play to your critics is there's always going to be someone out there, someone that's a naysayer, and especially in social media where there is no actual face-to-face communication, people get what I like to call keyboard muscles, right? And keyboard muscles mean people are going to type out something that they would never, ever say to you, to your face or over the phone. And so if you play to the critics, you're always going to live a little bit smaller of a life than you should. Play to your fans. There's the people out there that appreciate you and want you to be your true authentic self. So I like that you encourage people to not be fearful and just put it out there, because there's always going to be someone that doesn't like what you're doing.
Right. All right.
And that doesn't mean to wildly just post stuff without getting any feedback and trying to make iterations. I mean, calibrate, the word, is all about making iterations, intentional adjustments in your business, but also in your life, to have a better future than what you have currently right now. But I think if you play to that critic, if you play to the person that's not happy with what you're doing, you're always going to be hesitant. And we all know what happens when you're hesitant, right? It's like the squirrel in the road. They move over and try to avoid you, and all of a sudden that blump, 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 they get hit by a speeding car. So let's talk about YouTube now. YouTube on your website, it is impressive. Just the display of all the different YouTube shows that you have and YouTube content. And I'm paraphrasing here, but I've got 5 ways to generate real estate leads, how an agent commission is calculated, good investments for a realtor. I mean, these are all real videos that you have on your page, and they look great. I mean, a lot of them are you in your face, but this is cool stuff. So tell me about your YouTube channel. What's the stuff that gets the most viewership, and what do you enjoy recording on your YouTube channel?
Okay, so for my YouTube channel, I actually enjoy recording the things that nobody talks about when it comes to the real estate industry. You know, people don't really talk about commission. You know, it's an uncomfortable subject for a lot of people. And even from a client standpoint, I've had friends, you know, not use me because of how much money I was going to make on their transaction. And it baffles me. So I got this bright idea one day, let me record a video about how real estate agents actually get paid, because no one likes to take into account the taxes and the marketing expenses and the gas and just the splits with our brokers, you know? Sure. And so that's actually become one of my most popular videos over time. And from that, I just kind of kept going with that. I was like, okay, we're kind of on to something here. And it's grown this following and audience, both of real estate agents and then also clients who just appreciate how authentic I am. I use video a lot in my business. You can see a lot of my public videos, but I also have a lot of private videos that I use within my business, whether they are buyer's consultation videos, next steps videos, you know, during a transaction. Video is very big nowadays, and I mean video is so convenient for me because I can say a lot, but I don't have to necessarily talk on the phone for an hour, or I don't have to have a 2-hour face-to-face meeting, and it gives them a record of what I said so people can always refer back to it. You know, YouTube marketing is huge. I recommend that everybody gets on YouTube and at least put out some type of content. And YouTube is another place where you can repurpose a lot of content. Most videos that I have a blog article written about them that I take quotes from and create images out of them, that I also place videos on Facebook, and I'll break up these videos into 10, 15, 20 second increments. And so, you know, it's a great network, and it has a very large audience. And like I get business from YouTube, and I get a good amount of referral business too, just from agents all over the country.
That's awesome. Well, and one of the things that I think is real interesting about YouTube is YouTube is a phenomenal platform. There's a ton of users on YouTube, but it is a very fragmented space. And some advice that I got about YouTube is that, you know, YouTube's a great place to put content, but you still need a delivery mechanism. You still need to be able to either send that out in a broadcast email through an email company. There's several that do that. You also need to place your YouTube videos within social media, and then you can text them, you can put them on your blog, and they live there. But that rich content, YouTube doesn't really have a good delivery mechanism besides your subscribers. And a lot of times you're not going to grow subscribers unless they see it from somewhere else. And so I think making sure that you repurpose that and put that out onto your different channels is real important. The other thing that I find about YouTube that's really fascinating, and this is actually a true situation. Yesterday, I'm picking up my daughter from her competitive swimming practice, which is at a local high school, and they happen to have a stack of the local high school's newspaper, and the edition of the newspaper happened to be a survey of the high school students and what social media platforms they're on. Now, high school students aren't buying houses, but they're going to be the future home buyers here in the next 5 or 10 years, and there's a bunch of pie charts showing the freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior classes and what type of social media they consume. Surprise, surprise, Snapchat is typically about 50% of the social media that a high school student is doing. But I found it very interesting that there was a pretty close correlation between Instagram and YouTube as the second. They were both between 20 and 25% of the users. And this is one local high school in the state of Colorado, so it's not always going to be the case across the nation. But YouTube is, I think, a way that people are learning things. It's a way that people are finding out information without having to consult with an expert. And I think the reason why this podcast is on iTunes, but is also simulcast on YouTube, is that a lot of people want to have that window in. They want to be a fly on the wall for a conversation, or they want to learn something without having to necessarily make that phone call to that person. And for us agents, it's a great way of having that same conversation we have every single day, but recording it and saying, hey, this is something that everybody always asks me, watch it. And it makes our life more efficient, which I think is great.
Definitely. And, you know, video is kind of the new way of things now. You know, people aren't reading like they used to. Everybody's going to watch a video to learn something new. We see them scrolling all day through our Facebook feeds. Facebook promotes them like no other. I mean, we have Snapchat and Instagram stories. Like, all of these are centered around video. And I honestly feel like me introducing video into my business has created even a different client experience. You know, clients appreciate it. They find my videos very informative, but they like my delivery of them. You know, I'm not sending a 3-page long email. I'm saying it in a 2 to 3 minute video. And so it saves them time, and they actually watch the video. You know, when you send someone a video, there's a better chance that they're going to watch it than sitting there reading your 4-page email. And so, and with our smartphones, I mean, it's so easy. Just plop it in front of you and start talking. You know, it's such a great delivery method for a lot of things real estate nowadays.
Well, and that's a great point. For those of you that are listening on iTunes or some other podcast app, this is simulcast on YouTube. And the benefit is you get to see what Jason looks like, you get to see what I look like, and you get to see our mannerisms. There's so much that's lost when you have this, the nonverbal communication that happens when you see someone. If you're just listening, or if you're just reading something, it's really difficult to tell what those nonverbal cues are doing. And so I think video, all it's done is it's been able to connect people globally. You know, there's so many benefits to being able to use your smartphone to get on a video chat. We're recording this over Zoom. It makes life dynamic. And so Jason's sitting there in Dallas, I'm sitting here in Denver, and we're able to feel like we're really communicating with each other much, much more so than over the phone. And I think it's really a wonderful movement within our technological world. So video can be consumed so many different ways. You can post a video onto YouTube. You can post a video within Facebook through Facebook Live. I'm not as hip to Instagram. I'll date myself, but in my mid-30s, that's something that I'm working on learning a little bit more. But the average realtor is in their 50s. And so let's talk about how someone can just get started really, really easy doing video and what they should do with the video once they're done with it. So if you've got some tips and some advice for, okay, I've never done a video before, but I hear Chase and I hear Kyle talking about video is important. what to record, how long should it be, and how do you post that? How do you deliver it, Jason?
Yeah, so I would recommend, and this may be very just kind of throwing you out there, but I would recommend starting with a live video, to be honest with you. I would start with the live video on Facebook and just do a video telling people who you are, you know, telling people who you are, what you're about. If you want to make it all real estate, you know, I'm Chasing J. Miles with Rogers Healy and Associates. I can help you buy or sell a home anywhere in DFW. That's completely fine. But, you know, just let people know who you are. Sometimes it's so funny how watching someone's mannerisms or seeing them smile, you know, on camera can change someone's whole perspective of you. And so I would record a live video just introducing yourself. And from there, I would even go as far as create like some type of content plan. This was something that I did in the beginning of the year. I started, you know, January 1st. I said, okay, I'm going to do more live video this year. So I started out introducing myself. And I told people, hey, I'm going to come back every week with some type of real estate tip. That's super easy. I'm sure we can all think of just one thing we can share weekly with people. And then as I started doing that, the audience started growing and growing and growing. And then, you know, people were asking like, hey, what's the tip for next week? And, you know, so there's so many opportunities. Now with live videos, those are saved within Facebook and can be downloaded. And you can take those videos, break them up. You can put them on Instagram. You can put them on through your email. If you want to create an email drip campaign with videos, you can definitely do that. You can write blog articles for them. Like, you can repurpose that video. You can post that same video 6 months from now, because by then people have probably forgotten about it. But now,
or they never saw it in the first place.
Yeah,
you know. So that's the thing. I think we all assume, and I'm guilty of this too. You produce a video. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. And you're like, I'm gonna send it out, and everyone's gonna see it. And it's like, well, I mean, just like anything else, if I didn't happen to be on my email when that got sent, or if I wasn't on social media that day or that week, because I take some social media respites. Where I just intentionally detox from social media. And if someone doesn't see it, you know what? Maybe they want to see that again in 6 months because they never actually saw it in the first place. So it's a good pointer. And I like how you do the real estate tips on a regular basis and that you have a rhythm for your content. That's the biggest piece of advice I would have, as I've done podcasts for a number of years now, which are both simulcast through a video feed, but then also the audio part of it, is that you've got to have a strategy, because otherwise what's going to end up happening is you'll run out of content pretty quickly if you don't think through it at first. And then the other thing I would suggest is that as a real estate agent and as any type of professional in the real estate industry, you are here to solve a problem for your clients. That's what we're here for. We're here to decrease the stress of selling a home. We're here to help people sift through all the details of the stats, whatever it is, but you're here to be their guide. And if you forget that, it's going to be apparent on social media or in any of your listing presentations. So I love the idea that you just talk about the things that people already ask you about. What's your commission? Well, here's how it's calculated. What's a good investment for a realtor to buy? How do you get your first real estate client? I love that you talk about content that actually other realtors might end up looking at, because I think the reality is there are no secrets. Everything mm-hmm. that's been done in this world has been done before. It's just what platform you're doing it on. And I love how authentic and how real and how willing you are to share. And you've got this abundance mindset, which I think is important.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So one last thing on video and social media.
Okay.
This sounds to me like it takes a lot of time. And part of it is because I've actually done a lot of the editing. I've done a lot of the production. So for someone who's looking at it, like, I've got no time to do the existing business that I have, let alone create some sort of social media campaign, either with video or just with social media, if they're trying to embark on a new platform. How much time does this take you? And obviously it yields you results, but how much time does it take you to do?
All in all, it may take me like an hour a week. Not much time at all. I spend a little bit of time just kind of planning out my content. Normally when I'm recording video, my videos are going to be shorter than like 3 minutes. So 3 to 4 minutes is probably the max video that I'm gonna do. You know, it doesn't really take a lot of time. Once you know what you're gonna say, and you just turn on the camera and go for it. Something that I don't do a lot of is I don't do a lot of editing, because I just want to give it to you how it is, you know, unless I'm just stumbling over a lot of words. But as far as my message that I'm putting out there, it is what it is, because I'm literally speaking from my knowledge or from experience. And that's why I do live videos, because it's kind of that connection. People are asking me questions. It's real time. But I would say probably about an hour a week. It doesn't really take a lot of time.
I love that you touched on the concept of editing, because that can take a ton of time, and it's a trap. Not to say you shouldn't edit and that you shouldn't create quality content, because that is important. But what I find is that you can get this analysis paralysis of, oh, it should have looked this way, or I got to do it this way. And it's the same thing that you talked about with people being fearful about posting in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, what if I goof this up and someone says this or that? And I can speak to this. I mean, yesterday I was invited to be on our local NBC affiliate to speak about tax reform, which is a topic that I know quite a bit about, but I still had to do a bunch of research for. And it was like, I had less than a day to prepare for this. And I still said yes. And a lot of the people that I talked to about it prior to, people in my office, my lovely wife, Courtney, so many different people I talked to, they're like, I cannot believe that you just willingly said yes to being on, to being filmed on an NBC affiliate within Denver. And I said, you know what? It's going to be a great opportunity. I'm going to learn a lot. I'm going to learn about the production business. I want to go see their studio. So that'd be really cool. And you put yourself out there, but the reality is, the more you put yourself out there, the more experience you get. Malcolm Gladwell talked about 10,000 hours in his book Outliers. You cannot get this stuff mastered unless you practice it. It's like anything else in life. Unless you practice it, you're never going to get it mastered. So I think that the idea that you don't focus so much time on editing is really key, because you can get paralyzed by analyzing, oh, this is how it should be. And what I found when I do video shoots where it's kind of a monologue, it's a little bit more difficult for me than a conversation like I'm having with you, because mm-hmm. I can see you and I can interact with you, and that's more natural. When I'm doing a monologue, a lot of times what I do is I just hit record and I start going through my steps and I fumble through it, but I'm basically just rehearsing, and it's almost always my second to last or my last take. And I just do one big long recording, and then I just shrink it down and take the part of it that I like. And that takes me 15 minutes to get through, instead of like crafting this huge script and going through it. So I think that's a good tip that works well for me.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts on social media? Go ahead.
Yeah. I never write scripts. Scripts to me are a trap, and that's what takes a lot of time. When you sit there and try to write a script, and then you're going to sit there and try to memorize it, and then you're going to want to say it word for word, and then you're going to end up not even doing the video. Just some advice: figure out your topic, write bullet points. As long as you're knowledgeable about that, it should just flow naturally. Do not write scripts, because scripts are going to lead you to frustration. And, you know, it's okay. Just be human. Yeah. And like, literally be human. As real estate agents, I don't know where this gets taught at, but we're so disconnected from just reality sometimes within our marketing. And you really have to humanize yourself and let other people know that you're a regular person. You say the word you say but sometimes, like, it is what it is, but you're gonna connect with people once you really start being a human.
So social media is something that you are an absolute expert at, and I think we've provided some really tactical examples of way people can start a social media campaign. But with social media comes writing and thinking about what you're doing, and it's a lot of times people think, well, social media is not writing. Yes, it is. Anytime you type in to a social media channel and say, this is what we're doing, or you're creating an Insta story or any other type of story, you're creating content. So talk to me about being an author. You're an Inman contributor, which is a phenomenal accolade in the real estate industry. And then you wrote a book. I'm writing a book. And man, this is one of the hardest things I've ever embarked upon. So especially a book, because that's something that it's just going to help me. But just talk to me about the writing process, and one, how you find time for it, and two, just what you do to really get yourself in that frame of mind to write.
Yeah. So I will start off by saying I am not a, you know, just like natural born writer. It's just kind of something that I picked up along this real estate journey. When I first got into business, like blogging was huge. Everybody was saying blog, blog, blog. That's all anybody was talking about regarding the internet was to create a blog. So I forced myself to learn how to write blogs. And I started, you know, doing that. And then I was like, hey, I want to write a book now. So I wrote a book and, you know, just mostly through my blog writing has introduced these opportunities such as Inman and, you know, some of these other publications that I've been in, some of the magazines and stuff. They've all stemmed from writing blogs, and I was writing blogs about real estate, you know, about my business, about my experiences. I was writing advice. Another one of those things that's just kind of like a conversation. Like if there was something that I wanted to tell you about this specific topic, like what would I say? And I put it into a blog. And it's so funny because I would have Rogers, like I said, I'm not a natural born writer. And some of my blogs were coming out real, like I needed to go back to high school. But, you know, Rogers was kind of my proofreader, and we would work through them. And, you know, I kind of studied a little bit, even with writing for Inman, they give you kind of lots of guidelines and, you know, just how your voice and tone should be and all kinds of stuff. And so you just learn along the way, but that's another one of those things that I was just kind of writing and speaking naturally. You know, I wasn't writing as if I was a novelist, but me, Chasen J. Miles, just trying to share advice on a topic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the thing that people get stuck on is this is going to be perfect, or it needs to be perfect. And I love the way that you communicate that you're making sure that you just put the content out there and you're going to work on it, continually working on improving. Writing's just like anything else. It's like riding a bike. You're going to be really crummy at it the first time you do it, but that doesn't mean you stop just because you stunk at it the first time you did it. You got to keep working at it. You keep working. It's a craft, and you've got to continue working at it. So I agree with you. And then the other part that you talked about is whether it's Rogers or someone that's a professional editor, you know, hire an editor, hire someone that can actually look through this and say, hey, look, this is not grammatically correct, or you kind of trailed off and your thoughts were wrong. But what I've found with any writing that I've done that's done editing is try not to edit it on your own while you're writing it, because what is going to happen is it's going to take you two or three times as long to get it done. Write it out as a first draft, and then come back to it if you're going to edit yourself half a day later or a day later, and you'll have a fresh set of eyes on it. You're going to have other things that will have happened, and now you're looking back at it and saying, why the heck did I say that? That doesn't make any sense. Or just have someone that's really close to you start to read it. Like you said, your broker owner is reading it, and he says, you missed this completely. And then don't take offense to it, right? That's the other part of this, is that I think everybody kind of looks at it and says, oh, man, I totally screwed that up. I'm an idiot. And it's like, don't take it personally. It's just you're working on getting better, and that's what Calibrate's all about, is it's looking at something as a failure. That's an event. That's something that happened. You as a person are not a failure. This particular thing didn't work out perfectly, but we're going to edit it. We're going to work on it. We're going to make it better.
Right.
So when you write a book, the book is called More Than Four Walls. How do people get that book, by the way, Chasen? Can they get it online somewhere?
Yeah, so it's available on my website, chasenjmiles.com, or you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's on iTunes, Kindle, Nook. Pretty much everywhere online that books are sold. If you do order from my website, it does come autographed, because I actually ship those out personally.
Nice. Well, so that's a benefit. And then the other benefit that I was going to say is that if you go to Chasen J. Miles, that's C-H-A-S-T-I-N, so that's Chasen with a C-H, J. Miles, M-I-L-E-S.com, and hopefully we'll blow up your website a little bit here. If you go to Chasen's website, what you're going to find is you're going to find all these videos that are out there in addition to his book and all these other things. So I think, like a lot of things in life, if you do some research on what Chasen's doing really well in Dallas-Fort Worth, you might be able to implement one or two of those things. Maybe not everything Chasen's doing, but one or two of those things in your own business, and that will help you become more relatable to your clients. And I think that's really important for people. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in to the Calibrate Real Estate Podcast. My name is Kyle Malnati. I'm your host, and I appreciate everybody that tunes in, whether it be on video or on a podcast app. for my guest, Chase and Jay Miles out of Dallas, Texas, working for Rogers, Healy and Associates. I would love to just say thank you so much. Merry Christmas. And as I love to say, we will see you around the neighborhood. Thanks, everybody. See you later. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.